There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, and chilly downtown Philly is where we find ourselves because we have part pageantry, part honor, and a huge epic rivalry coming from Lincoln Financial Field. It's the 119th meeting between the Black Knights of Army and the Navy Midshipmen. It's less than 24 hours away from kickoff. Game day will get you set in the morning, and we're
Are
here right now. A little bit. I can't feel my fingers. But other than that, everything's fine. Maria Taylor, David Pollack, and Desmond Howard. Guys, last time we were here, it was snowing, though, so I feel like we're doing okay.
Yeah, I did enjoy that, though, because you hit me in the face with a snowball. That was fun.
I don't remember doing
great accuracy.
That.
Great accuracy.
Well, there you go.
You want proof?
Last year. Okay, remember this? That's Navy's mooring from 48 yards out, wide left, and Army holds off Navy for the 14-13 victory, second straight win over the Midshipmen, giving the Black Knights their first Commander-in-Chief trophy since 1996.
I thought it was a big-time advantage being all white in the white snow.
Is that what it was?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. I thought it was awesome.
Really how about that kick, though? A couple penalties before that and then backed him up and made the kick hard. 48 yards is a hard kick regardless, more or less, in daggum snow. And they don't get to cheat like Vinatieri and those guys back in the day and just clear a little spot, you know?
Well, do we think that this will be the year that Army gets three straight wins in a row?
It's happening.
It's happening.
It is. It hadn't happened since 92 through 96 where they've had three in a row, and they got it rolling. Munkin's got those boys looking good. 10-win season, on the brink of a 10-win season for back-to-back seasons, and the first possibility for an 11-win season in school history, period. So I think they're definitely the favorites.
I tell you what, Army is rolling right now, but this is a rivalry game.
Yep.
And Navy's having a terrible season, and when you talk to anybody that's involved in that program, they will say, it's a bad season, but we know one game can change everything. And, guys, this is that one game. So they're going to put all the eggs in the basket for this game. I can't wait. It's going to be an exciting matchup.
Yeah, and a lot of the eggs will be in the run game, too, because both these teams are relying on the option. Over under five passes thrown in this game. What are we taking?
Listen,
over.
I think the weather's nice enough that they're going to pass. I will go with the over.
Okay.
Not by many. Exactly.
I mean, this is old school football. The weather is not, well, I'm just telling you, it's going to be cold. Instead, it's supposed to be like sleeting. So, but these teams are so familiar with each other, too. I think you have success stopping it. I mean, you're used to seeing this every day. You have more success stopping than teams that hadn't seen it at all. So, I'll go with over six throws.
Okay. Over six. You guys are barely taking the over.
Right.
One thing we also know we can expect from this game are some pretty sick uniforms. You talked about the all-white uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look at this year's uniforms because we'll start with Navy, and we got a little bit
solid.
Slate blue
That's
right
nice
there.
Look.
They're honoring the goat that served as the mascot for the USS New York.
Ooh, you can't lose with the black on black on black, though.
Right?
Triple black.
Are I all wearing the shield? Because that's I like the shield, too.
Yeah, I like that one, too. That's called the big red
one. That's
hot. That's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I.
Why is it called the big red one?
Because it's the 100th anniversary of World War I.
She just told you why.
I wanted you to bestow
Listen
some
to me every
you.
Now and then. Also were able to give away some awards, the College Football Awards in Atlanta on Thursday night. And we saw Tua, I'm not going to say walk away with the Maxwell Award, but he did limp. He hobbled.
He limped away.
Fowler was very nice. That was very, very nice off. Look at him.
Hey, I presented to Maxwell. I told Nick, I said, listen, if your quarterback wins, is he going to hop his butt up here and get this trophy?
I like it. Fowler didn't even want it. He didn't look for the lights. He just brought it down to Tua. Let's take a look at the Heisman update brought to you by Nissan. And right now, how about this, guys? Kyler Murray is the front runner, and all season long, we thought it was Tua's to lose.
Yeah.
And here we are a day away, and it's looking like it could be shifting into Murray's favor. But both Tua and Kyler did sit down with Chris Fowler. Let's hear what the two QBs had to say.
You guys are up for the same awards that are nice to win. You're going to compete in the Orange Bowl for a spot in the championship game. So people would want to know, 1 to 10, what is the level of awkwardness sitting next to each other? You're both competitors.
Honestly, for me, it's not awkward. I mean, I respect his game. You know, what he's doing at Alabama is ridiculous right now. Something that obviously everybody hasn't seen before at Alabama. So, you know, he's taking them to the next level. But not awkward. Nah, it's just, for me, I'm a competitor. I know he is. And, you know, when that day comes, it'll be fun.
Sam?
You know, I think I'd like to harp
right off of what Kyler said, it's the same. You know, I don't feel it's awkward. You know, I think it'd be awkward if we kind of came in here and just didn't introduce ourselves to each other. But, you know, this man, very, very welcoming. And
I have seen sparks between players who are going to compete for individual awards and maybe more importantly, on the field. Like, there'd be guys who want to step on his foot right now.
No.
You don't believe me? Come on. You know how people are in this sport when it's in each other's way.
I'm sure the fans would love that. But, I mean, no, heck of a player. Obviously, hope he's okay. Hope he gets able to play. Yeah.
You can control how you play, but you can't control how others view it and how they vote. How does wanting to win something like the Heisman for your family, for your teammates, contribute to the anxiety in the lead up to it?
I mean, all you can do is control how you go out there and play. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, control who votes for who, worry about any of that, because you start worrying about that and that's not the main focus. You know, the main focus is to lead your team, you know, and at the end of the day, get a win.
You know, I think when you do something that you love, for us, you know, is playing football. I mean, I don't think there's any anxiety, you know, and I think your family understands that as well. You know, you're just going out there, representing your family the best you can with how you play and how you go about doing your business. So I wouldn't say, you know, from my standpoint that there's no anxiety, you know, going into trying to win an award or whatnot. We just go out there and I believe we both just go out there and have fun.
We just go out there and have fun.
But I think it would be even more fun if you walk away with the Heisman.
I mean, come on.
That's so bogus. Dez won a lot of awards. He won the Heisman. I won some awards.
Exactly.
I ain't trying to. I don't want that guy to win.
What else are you going to do? You're sitting right next to him. They said everything they're supposed to say.
No, you say, I want the award, and I want to beat you.
Let me tell you one thing. You know, because you're a former athlete, of course you know, those guys are ultimate competitors.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just giving him those PC answers. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't have to be PC right now. Who do you think should win?
Who I think should win? Well, as a voter, I don't think I should say that right now because the award is, you know, the ceremony is tomorrow. So I don't want to say who I think should win. I think both guys should win it, to be completely honest. I think there's a case for both guys. Sure. Now, I think that if you think that Tua was the front runner for, you know, whatever, 11, 12 games, so you got to the championship game, and you think that you can lose it in one game, then I understand why Murray may be the front runner going into Saturday's announcement. But there's a strong case, both sides, and both guys were on my ballot. I'm not going to say which order, but both guys were on the ballot,
I think you take the whole season, right? Sure. So what happened in the championship game, I think really makes a difference for a lot of people when it comes to voting, because Tua's backup came in the game and won the game for him.
Sure
so Kyler Murray's had an outstanding season. It's been neck and neck all season. I'll make a case, too, this. Kyler Murray, he's done it. He has great numbers. He's also done it against some really poor defenses.
Right.
Tua's done this against some really great defenses. So both of them, I agree with Dez. Both of them super deserving. Both have had great moments. I just think the way Tua finished the season, I think, might be an indication of where the award goes on Saturday.
Well, we do know that 10% of the votes were already cashed in before championship week.
Okay, so everybody who voted before championship week should be revoked.
Done.
They should take all their Heisman votes
Never should vote
away.
Again.
You're
Never.
Not allowed to vote.
Do you
exactly.
vote, David?
I do vote.
All right.
And I voted after the championship week.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't know if you had any say in anything that was
usually not.
I know. Coming up next on College Football Live. We know that the carousel is moving, but we do have the Heisman coming your way on Saturday night, and we'll find out whether or not it's Kyler, is it going to be Dwayne Haskins, or is it going to be Tua Tagovailoa? We will have you started off at 8 p.m. Eastern. Chris Fowler will be there. You'll hear from all of the QBs. And as I mentioned before, the coaching carousel has been nothing compared to last year, but we're going to talk about it and the first-year head coaches who have made some statements this season.
This Heisman Update is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy. College Football Live is brought to you by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem.
College Game Day, built by the Home Depot, live from Philadelphia, tomorrow at 9 on ESPN.
And coming your way game day on Saturday, the sports landscape where blame is often the norm. We're talking about a player who missed a game-winning field goal last year, and that's Bennett Mooring. He found the opposite. He found support, not just from his naval community, but from far beyond. Tom Rinaldi, he'll have the story. And even after Army and Navy players leave their respective schools, the memories made during the Army-Navy game, well, they never leave. And of course, Urban Meyer announcing his retirement this week. What will his legacy be? We'll address all of that on game day at 9 a.m. Eastern. And now it's time to talk about Urban Meyer. He announced on Tuesday that he'll retire after the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, citing health reasons and a difficult season that included a three-game suspension. So as the coaching carousel moves a little bit, we know that Ryan Day will be taking over the Ohio State football program, and we're going to add Gino to the set to kind of discuss the career that Urban Meyer has had, and you can take a look at what he's been able to do. His head coaching career, I mean, it's Hall of Fame-like. Won over 85% of his games and won national championships at Florida and Ohio State. Look at those three Big Ten titles. I mean, no one can argue with how great Urban Meyer is, Gino. Your reaction to his announcement of retiring?
It's shocking to see it, you know, to see Urban Meyer has resigned. But I wasn't stunned by the news. It didn't surprise me. I think if we would have bet a nickel on it the week before, I thought it was trending that way. Yeah. I was there about 10 days ago, and Urban stopped by before we actually sat down to do the interview. And I didn't know anything at the time, but it just felt like he had made up his mind. And he had sort of an energy about him, and he talked about some things. Relief, that's a perfect word. Yeah. It was as if he knew that he had made his decision, he was gone, and now he could just exhale.
Yeah.
So shocking to see it in print, shocking to see it on the scroll, not a stunning decision to me.
No, we talked about it on Selection Sunday, and I said when we saw the matchup in the Rose Bowl, I said, this is the last game Urban Meyer coaches. I mean, that was a question because you could see the toll, and you could see with the interview the color was bad.
So you predicted it on Sunday.
Yeah, I said on Sunday. Okay. I think this will be the last game we see Urban Meyer. But you could see he was actually
impressive. He
was very, like, his color was back.
Yeah.
He was full of life. Like, he was kind of joking a little bit because you could tell that it took a toll on him this year with all the questions and people questioning his integrity and his character throughout what he's done and the pressure to win. You would have thought the Buckeyes at some point in the season had lost seven games.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
We were like, what's wrong with this team?
Right.
They're getting stomped out. Like, no, they're still winning, and they won the Big Ten. Yeah. They won the Big Ten championship. So he looked to me, it was relief when it looked.
I agree with both of you said. I think that during the season, when you looked at him, especially starting off with the suspension, the press conference, he just looked like a guy who was defeated. You know, he looked angry at the press conference. Then when he came back, you watched him on the sideline. He looked like those games, because they struggled so much, those games just seemed to be aging him, you know? And then going to the Michigan game, he did seem like he was himself. Like, and maybe that's when he actually made the decision. I have no idea. But he just seemed very different from the Maryland game to the Michigan game. So then it made sense. And like you said, there were rumblings about him giving it up, retiring, whatever, stepping down. So I wasn't shocked because of those rumblings. But like you, to see it on the crawl, I was really surprised to see that because, like, wow, it's really happening. He's really going to make that decision. Or he made that decision.
Sure. Well, there's no surprise that they decided to elevate Ryan Day, offensive coordinator, Ohio State, into that head coaching role, and he'll be taking over after the Rose Bowl. And Ryan Day will be on this list next year. Take a look at the first-year head coaches. It was a mixed bag for some of the notable first-year guys. Josh Heupel, he still hasn't lost a freaking game. A couple of coaches in the SEC, they're going to a bowl game. And your buddy, Herm. Look at him at ASU.
Yeah.
Going to a bowl game with the Sun Devils.
That's right. Man, everyone kind of questioned it, too. Like, man, how old is Herm? And, you know, how long has he been out of football? How can he relate to the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Herm is a great motivator, and he's an excellent CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the blueprint right now for the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Do we feel like, looking at all of the guys who are on that list, that their programs are better off now than where they were maybe a season ago with them as the head guy?
All of them?
Yeah, not all of them. Some guys.
I mean,
yeah, some guys.
All of them is kind of hard to say there, Marie.
I would never know.
I'll point at Jimbo Fisher and say that you can look at that A&M program and say tougher. I mean, just so much tougher. They made you earn it. Even their losses, they were competitive. They lost to Alabama and Clemson 2 out of 3 weeks. Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. Everybody's going to lose to Alabama.
They were competitive against both teams,
very competitive. And that's year one. Yeah. So he hadn't even got his guys in there. I think you could definitely see Jimbo Fisher trending in the correct direction. Even though Scott Frost lost a lot, I still like what he did. I could still see it started off ugly. Right, I mean, Bubba Sparks, ugly.
Exactly.
And then you could tell once he got rid of his guys, or once he got rid of some of the guys around there that weren't on board, it started to trend in the right direction.
No, I like that. I like what he did with his team.
You know, Des, you made a great point. I was at Arizona State earlier this season, and to that point of, can Herm relate to the kid? They didn't have any problem relating to him.
No.
And this question isn't really about records to me. Okay. It's about, is your program in a better place because of the new guy? Mm-hmm. And you bring up Scott Frost.
Right.
Yeah, the record doesn't reflect his impact, but he's had an impact. Even a guy like Josh Heupel, where you wondered, after Scott Frost leaves, are they going to be okay? Is there going to be a drop-off? He comes in, he puts his own stamp on the program. That's really hard to do after a guy like Frost. I think most of these guys had a positive impact. You know, I mean, Willie Taggart at Florida State, there's still some real work to be done there. But
exactly.
I think he'll figure it out.
Let's talk about the work. I mean, what are the hires or changes that he could make that could improve things down in Tallahassee?
Well, first and foremost, they got to get an offensive line coach, or the offensive line coach got to do a better job, because it starts in the trenches with Florida State. And it's been like that for years, though, even under Jimbo Fisher.
Right.
The offensive line struggled. They suffered. So that's, to me, that's where it starts with Willie Taggart and his group out there. Then defensively, they're going to have to find just a couple guys who are like David, you know, like David when he was at Georgia. Just some dogs, you know what I mean, up front, who can really just put pressure on people. Not only put pressure on the quarterback, but also stop the run, too. So I think it starts in the trenches with Florida State.
I think what you said, finding some guys.
Yeah.
They need to find some guys on the offensive line. They need to find some guys. But I'm interested to see what he does with his offense, period. If he brings in an offensive coordinator, because he's kind of – he is the offensive coordinator.
Right.
I mean, he's the guy that, and listen, his offenses has worked for a long time at multiple different spots, and you've seen him have a lot of success, but it didn't work this year. It was bad. And so I know you've heard rumblings about certain people going to Florida State and coaching as an offensive coordinator. I'll be interested to see if he makes that hire.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of extra time. No bowl game for Florida State this season, so
which,
we'll see.
Which is, what, 32 years in the making or something? That's not
a
good thing.
3 decades.
That's not good.
But there's time to turn it around. The good news is we've had a great college football season so far, and we've got a little bit of time to check in with these guys and find out what their most memorable moments were. Hopefully Tyler Trent makes that list and is on the top of that list. And coming up, we also have amazing college football playoff semifinals coming your way. That'll be December 29th. We're going to kick things off with number 2 Clemson and 3 Notre Dame in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic at 4 Eastern. Then number 1 Alabama, it's Tua versus Kyler, and the Oklahoma Sooners as the Capital One Orange Bowl kicks off in Miami. Both games will stream live on the ESPN app, so you can watch them anywhere.
College Football Live is brought to you by eBay. If it's happening this season, it's happening on eBay.
Instead of a player, we're going to look at a blimp-worthy hero presented by Goodyear, and it's Purdue superfan Tyler Trent, who is battling a rare form of bone cancer and was presented with the Disney Spirit Award last night at the College Football Awards. Here he is with Tom Rinaldi.
What did that moment mean to you?
Man, undeserving.
Why do you say that over and over? Undeserved. Why?
Because, you know, a year ago, I prayed that I would have the opportunity to share my story. And now it's coming true.
What's your message to all those who have reached back to you? Hundreds and thousands, and now into the millions, who have been affected by what you've shared. What's your message to them?
At the end of the day, there's, you know, always a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, as long as you rely on your faith, things will work out.
If we might ask everyone who considers themselves to be on your team tonight to one more time stand up and show the support and love and courage to Tyler Trent.
T- Tyler's story is one that captivated the entire college football nation, and he said it right there. He wanted his story to be told, and now it's been more than told. It's been shared.
And not the whole, not just college football, everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, you've
yeah.
seen, he's visited the Pacers, and he's visited every, I mean, just yeah. every time you watch it, you get tears in your eyes. We're doing it last night, the show, and you get tears in your eyes. This kid's dying, like, and he's fighting with everything he has, and he's just he's sharing his story. In the last 3 months, you could just tell the amount of life that was breathed back into this young man by his story and by his strength to show everybody else. Man, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see.
No, it was tremendous to be there last night and be a part of that. Rinaldi did an excellent job, and this young man, he's an inspiration to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Getting his story out there has affected a whole lot of people, so it's just great to be a part of it. And see him last night was tremendous.
Yeah, it was extraordinary to see him at that game right there, the upset that Purdue
yeah,
pulled off against
exactly.
Ohio State. Seeing
he
him in the
it.
Locker room. After
he called it.
He
called
the
shot.
In the first quarter.
Yeah.
Called the shot.
And it's been extraordinary to watch the story ever since. So everybody, every other moment compared to that is honorable mention. Period, hands down, doesn't matter. But Gino, if you had to pick a moment from college football, what would it be?
Well, there's no topping that. That is one, and then everybody else is you know, wherever. I mean, I see you tear up as you're watching that, and his humility and his courage is just unbelievable. But it's related to that game.
Yeah.
What happened with Ohio State losing that game and what it meant to their season, and then how that sort of figured into Urban Meyer's trajectory as the season went on. So I would say Urban Meyer making that decision to step away from football would be my non-Tyler choice on this one.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Especially if you go back just a year to right now, like to think about, we're talking about Urban Meyer walking away from like before all the controversy, before the suspension, before all that stuff that came out, I think everybody would have lost that bet. Everybody would have said, no way, no how. It will be soon, but not next year.
Right.
So it's pretty crazy.
Jalen Hurts in the SEC Championship game. That was my moment.
Pretty awesome. That's a good one.
Jalen Hurts.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's
I actually can't
one.
Wait till that becomes just a 30 for 30
documentary.
Oh,
that needs to be a movie.
Yes, let's get that written in the
book. I'm an executive producer.
Okay. No, you've been a star.
Oh, yeah.
Acting it, too.
You got it. You got it.
On game day.
Gino can produce that.